We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And what a beautiful Tuesday afternoon it is. I am Scoot on the Air. Really glad you're with us. I posted a video last night on the Scoot on the Air YouTube channel, and you can just go to YouTube, type in Scoot on the Air. I hope you become a subscriber while you're there. It's free, and we'll give you a notice every time we post something. But a lot of talk about Sean Payton leaving, and I want to share with you some of the thoughts that I have about the press conference yesterday. And a lot of interesting things, and just about everybody said that they saw us. These are people like Doug Mouton, who work with Sean Payton and see him all the time. You and I, you know, okay, we saw a different Sean Payton. But even the people who are around him all the time say that's a Sean Payton that they don't see. He was really relaxed. And look, there were times when Sean Payton could be very contentious with the media. But he was very friendly with the media and just did nothing but praise and say that how much he appreciates the job that they do. His daughter is on the West Coast, hoping to become a sports reporter or a sports anchor of some kind. There were a lot of really interesting parts in the press conference, and we're going to continue to give you a chance to talk about that. It's cathartic to talk about it. It's a big adjustment. I'm going to be positive about where we're headed. We still have a lot of great players. Is it going to be Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator? Seems like a lot of fingers are pointing in that direction. And it seems like he would be a good choice. He was the one who led the Saints to a victory when Sean Payton was out with COVID over the Tampa Bay Bucks. And now I know Sean Payton set the game plan and all of that. And Payton even talked about, you know, watching at home. And he obviously he's a little superstitious like many people. He said, yeah, you know, I had the cup in a certain place. And the Saints were doing well. I couldn't move the cup because obviously the cup was in the right place. So a lot of speculation about where Sean Payton is going to go. And he definitely left the door open to coach again. Now, Sean Payton has 3 years left on his contract. What if he's a coach within 3 years? Is that going to bother anybody? You know, I mean, it's business, right? I mean, you've got a five-year contract. You do 2 years of the five-year contract, and you decide to retire. Well, you know, you can. And I'm not saying that he's doing anything wrong. And of course, Sean Payton is, this is a business to him, and we should recognize that. I think he's headed for TV. But then it looks like he might be headed back into coaching, and he'll look to take on a challenge where he can be a hero. And for all the people who say there's no way he's going to the Cowboys, I'm not so sure that Jerry Jones might not be willing to relinquish. I can't imagine him doing it, but he would have to give up his micromanagement mentality. And then the Saints might have to be compensated if it's within the 3 years. So I'm not saying he's going to the Cowboys. I'm not saying that. I just don't think it's right to totally rule that out, because you know people change for the people that they really want. All right, we're also talking about the big boom. Did you hear the boom last night? I didn't hear anything. What time, Ian? Do you know what time that this happened? What time did the boom hit?
I don't know. I honestly don't. I can start looking at some of the. Well,
no,
wait.
Let's see. Okay, it was around 11:15.
Oh, that late? I thought it was.
I was awake at 11:15. I was doing research.
I was watching Ted Lasso.
At 11:50, of course. I was doing research for the interview that I did with
Ian
Anderson of Jethro Tull.
That was so cool.
Yeah, but he was a tough interview. He was not an easy interview. I mean, good guy, not mean or anything, but he might be the most intelligent person I've ever interviewed. In the rock arena.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a smart guy.
Yeah. So I was watching as you were in interview. He wasn't unfriendly.
Right.
But it wasn't he didn't cede much time or energy to you either. He was very much like, let's kind of like, we know, we both know what we're here to do. Like, let's do this business and I'm going to move on and you're going to move on. And let's not waste any time here.
But it's an interesting interview. It's a Zoom interview. So we're going to get that posted, I guess, on the website and maybe the Facebook page.
Yeah, video processing is happening right now. I just sent it to the digital guys a couple minutes ago.
Okay, so we're going to get that posted. Yeah, he's, you know, at his home. And so we had a good conversation. But again, I was doing research. And, you know, Jethro Tull was you know, one of the front-running bands in the progressive rock movement in the late 60s, early 70s. And very cerebral rock. Well, man, if you think the songs in the past had messages, he's got a brand new album out, The Zealot Gene. And a lot of the songs are about politics and society and leaders and the fact that there's just right and left and nobody's in the middle. So I really find it fascinating. And we'll rerun that interview. We'll play that interview. We'll play the audio part of that interview either tomorrow or Friday on the show, because it was fascinating. Okay, so we're also talking about the boom that took place last night, 11:15. I heard nothing. Or if I heard it, I didn't think anything about it. Let's go to Gregory in the Bywater. Hey, Gregory, you're on WWL.
Hey, it's good to talk to you again. I was glad I got to speak to you right before Sean's interview yesterday. And I was like him. I think that bottle of water worked because I was crying. I mean,
yeah,
I was very, 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 I mean, I thought it was a well done thing. I mean, he really loves this city. But, you know, it's business, just like you said.
Yep.
And I believe he's going to go into coaching first. That's just my opinion. And then he's going to go into broadcasting.
Oh, we'll see.
And I would hate him. And I would hate to see him go to that city. He kept calling it that city, but you know.
Well, if he goes right back into coaching, though, then what about this whole thing about I need a break from coaching? Last year was so tough. I need
a
break.
Year off or so.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure he'll take a year off or so and just spend time with his family. And he made that quite clear. You know, he's been with his girlfriend for a long time, who's now his wife.
Yeah.
You know, and his kids. You know. It takes 90 hours a week, you know, coaching, and it's a year. It's a 6 months, six months, or whatever it is.
Hey, did you hear the boom?
Yeah, I heard the boom in the Bywater. Now, let me tell you something. Now, I have a little bit of inside information. I'm not going to go into any classified things, but when I was in the Navy in the late 90s, I used to work at Tonopah, Nevada, and the Jet Propulsion Lab and Lockheed were working on this thing called Aurora. A hypersonic jet. This thing goes 7, 8, 9 times the speed of sound. And their flight path, their alternate flight path would take them from Tonopah, Nevada across the Gulf of Mexico. And they try to go to the least populated areas. California wouldn't let them fly off into
so
the Pacific.
So you're saying that this boom could have taken place in the upper atmosphere, maybe like over the Gulf?
Absolutely. It absolutely did, and I'm not going to say absolutely did, but I heard enough sonic booms just working at Tonopah, watching the half-scale models of the Aurora. This thing is an incredible aircraft.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not classified anymore. It's still out there. But you see, we've been trying to counter the Russians making these hyperspeed missiles and hyperspeed jets, and I believe ours are going to be better. But that was definitely a sonic boom.
Okay.
If anybody knows what a sonic boom is, that is exactly what it was. It was in the upper atmosphere, and it even has a little concussion. These things go so fast. I mean, when you're talking 7, 8, 9 times the speed of sound, especially when they go into their main engine, which is called a ramjet, it doesn't need that much oxygen. It uses either rockets or a conventional jet engine to get up into the atmosphere.
All right, so from your area of expertise, though, you feel like that was a sonic boom. And the way you're describing it, it sounds like it was, yeah. All right, Gregory, I do appreciate the call. If you've got a comment, you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. The Saints without Sean Payton. Is there going to be rebuilding? I guess to some degree. We just have to keep going. And Saints fans need to just keep going, and let's have confidence that things are going to turn out well. When Sean Payton at the press conference yesterday thanked the media, he said, "I appreciate your jobs," and he said, quote, "I'm going to see many of you in the years to come." That tells me he's not disappearing. He's either heading for the media or a coaching job. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar, it was on this day, January the 26th, 1992, during the presidential campaign, that presidential candidate Bill Clinton and his wife Hillary both appeared together on 60 Minutes on CBS. They were addressing the issue of her husband's infidelity. And Hillary at one point said, "I'm not sitting here, some little woman standing by my man like Tammy Wynette." This was over allegations that Bill was boinking Jennifer Flowers, a state employee, when he was governor of Arkansas. Bill Clinton admitted to wrongdoing and causing pain in his marriage, but stopped short of admitting that he had an affair. Kind of like the "I didn't inhale" comment. Tammy Wynette was quite upset by Hillary's comment that "I'm not just standing here like Tammy Wynette standing by my man." Tammy Wynette sent a message saying, "I resent your caustic remark. You have offended every woman and man who love that song, several million in number. I believe you have offended every true country music fan and every person who has made it on their own and no one to take them to the White House." Ouch! Ooh, that hurt. Hillary said she's sorry if she offended Tammy Wynette. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. The Family Grawl lineup has been announced. We've got it on our website at WWL.com. We'll continue to sprinkle that in this afternoon. Let's go to Ian Hoke with some of your text messages.
In regards to the Family Grawl lineup, here's a text that says, "Scoot, nothing says Mardi Gras like Sister Sledge, Martina McBride, and Marie Friggin' Osmond. I do like Ann Wilson, although without her band. Was Hanson not available? Where's the New Orleans rock and roll for Family Grawl?"
Well, there will be some. Amanda Shaw is going to be there.
All right.
There will be some local people. But you know, look, this is about drawing attention. This is about bringing in national acts. It always has. It always will be. And here's the truth: more people will come if it's Ann Wilson from Heart or Sister Sledge. Then will come if it's a local band. I'm not saying that's fair, but that's reality. But I think David Baptiste is going to be there as well.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, David Baptiste and the Gladiators, Amanda Shaw, and there's going to be a tribute to Alan Toussaint, followed by Marie Osmond and her orchestra.
She's got a whole orchestra coming
that,
with her?
Well, I'm learning that right now.
Oh, they're probably all on Nutrisystem, too.
All right, this is going to be February 18th through the 20th. And Saturday night, February the 19th, the crew of Mad Hatters is going to roll right through the Family Grawl area.
Oh, that's going to be great. Here's a text that says, "Hey, the boom was probably a tectonic plate movement. We heard it here near the Alabama state line, and there is a fault line that runs north near the Mississippi River."
So it came from underground?
Could have been like
subterranean?
Yeah, man, a subterranean, underground, you know, tectonic plate movement.
Sounds like an earthquake of some kind.
Yeah, that's pretty sketchy. Yeah. You know, there was I don't remember exactly what year it was. I think it was like the early 1800s, maybe like 1808, somewhere in there.
I vaguely remember that.
There was a huge earthquake on that same kind of fault line that runs, I believe it goes from like central Alabama up through Mississippi, kind of towards where Mississippi and Tennessee all get jammed up there.
Yeah.
And that earthquake was so powerful, the Mississippi River ran backwards.
You know, now that you mentioned that, I remember reading that.
Yeah.
That was a phenomenal thing.
Yeah, maybe that's the same thing. Here is a text that says, I heard the boom more than once in the past 2 weeks in Slidell. My guess is hypersonic rocket testing.
Well, that could be.
At Stennis,
but
maybe?
See, we'd have a record of that. I mean, they usually tell you when there's going to be a boom.
No, but the hypersonic missile thing, you know, China's like, we got hypersonic missiles. And Russia's like, we got hypersonic missiles. And North Korea's like, we got hypersonic. Nobody really believes them, I don't think. But, you know, maybe it's part of like a top secret thing and they didn't want to announce that we're doing hypersonic missile testing.
And that could be going on right over there in Mississippi.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, it could be in Kiev a couple weeks from now.
I think it's probably most likely it's a sonic boom that took place in the upper atmosphere somewhere.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Mike in Picayune. Hey, Mike, you're on WWL.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to make a comment. I'm wondering if your listeners are realizing that right now the entire weight of the Saints organization is on the shoulders of Mickey Loomis.
Mm-hmm.
And suppose Mickey decides to take a better offer somewhere else. What do we do then? I mean, I'm getting ready. If they lose Mickey, I'm ordering me a package of brown paper bags because that's how bad it'll get.
Yeah,
we'll lose players. We'll lose all coaches.
But since there's no sign of that, let's not worry about that. I mean, we don't have any reason to worry about that right now.
A week ago, there was no sign Sean Payton was retiring or quitting or whatever he did yesterday.
You can look at it however you want to. I'm going to be more positive, and I don't see any sign that we're losing Mickey Loomis, but anything is possible. I mean, I believe Mickey Loomis is from this area. And, I mean, I guess there's always a possibility. You know, you want to talk about anything that's possible. I mean, Gail Benson could sell the Saints, but I don't think she's going to do that.
No, I think she'll hold on as long as she possibly can because of her husband's love for New Orleans. But let me tell you something. There's plenty of teams that need good general managers out there, and Mickey sure is a good one.
Well, he is.
If we lose him, we're going to lose a lot more than just him.
Mike, I agree with you. Thanks for the call. But again, I'm going to remain positive. I mean, I know there was no sign that Sean Payton was going to resign, but there's no reason to believe that we'd have to worry about Mickey Loomis leaving. When that rumor starts, we'll talk about it. From Metairie, Robert, you're on WWL. Hello, Robert. All right, let's go to Mike, who's on the West Bank. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Scoot. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'd like to chime in with probably a different slant on all this and very unpopular, but you know, I can't help but chime in with those words. By the way, did you say the word boinking with reference to Bill Clinton and Jennifer Flowers? That's a euphemism I haven't heard.
No, I said boinking.
Boinking, yeah, boinking.
Yeah, he boinked.
I guess that's a nice euphemism for that, you know.
Yeah, well, you can't. Anyway. You know, anyway, there's some things you can't, you know, you can't use some ways to describe that, but you can use boinking.
It's funny how we have not on them.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Right.
But anyway, but Scoot, I gotta say, I can't, it's sad that you know, great that the Saints won a Super Bowl, but, you know, years ago, a guy named Tim Ryan was one of the economics people out at, you know, and he did a little analysis on the Superdome and what the team with New Orleans meant. And it's out there. I think if you went to, you know, you could get a copy of it. I got a copy of it. It was very, very disappointing. I mean, it was very short. Because I've always taken the position that too much emphasis has been placed on the impact, the positive impact of the Superdome on the city of New Orleans. See, as far as I'm concerned, New Orleans is essentially, and has even become more pronounced that it's the third world city. How do you describe a third world city? Well, you got the very rich and you got the very poor. And basically that's what you have in New Orleans. You have a city where you can't drive a car down the streets without losing an axle. But we got the Saints. We got the Saints. And it's just overblown. If you take out of what do you have? 17 games were played this past season, NFL games. And what, nine of those? No, less than that, because some of them were supposed to be home games, but they played them out of the city. So, I know you want to interrupt me. Go ahead and interrupt.
No, go ahead. I mean, I just want to add in there that
I defy anyone to look at this objectively, unemotionally, and say you have this huge building, the dome, which after Katrina, we plowed all kind of money into it. And then I think we just recently was redone when it became the Caesar's Palace. Well, I just say, out of those, let's say nine, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Half of the games are played in New Orleans.
Right, look, wait, Mike. Look, I don't know where you're getting your information, but the numbers for the economic impact of the dome are astronomical, and there's so many events there that you. I've got to dump that. We got to dump that. Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. Here's a guy who, uses profanity, and he's talking to me about saying boinking on the air. Look, I know you didn't mean to say it, Mike, but you did, so we had to dump you. I don't know where you're getting your information, but the economic, and if you want to say it's BS, you can say it's BS. I mean, this is America. You can think something's BS, but that doesn't mean it's BS. New Orleans, in many ways, does seem like a third world country, but that doesn't mean that the dome is the reason for it. And the Saints in the Dome have such an impact. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they're there. And to totally dismiss the impact of the Dome and the Saints on the economy of New Orleans is ignorant. Now, again, you're free to choose to believe whatever you want to believe, but that just doesn't seem like it's something anybody should be talking about or anybody should be worried about. If you don't like the Saints, if you don't like, that's fine. But the city would be in worse shape, as bad a shape as we're in. We'd be in worse shape without the Dome and without the Saints. The Final Four is coming. You're going to tell me that doesn't have an impact on the city? And that's why they spend so much to maintain the Dome, because as much as they spend to do it, the economic impact is greater than the collective expenses. From Metairie, Paul, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, yeah, that boom last night, I think I heard it.
Yeah?
You know, said it was right after 11. Yeah, I believe it sounded faint from where I'm at, though. I'm around Bonneville Boat Launch area, you know?
I didn't hear it in West End. Or, if it happened, honestly, if it happened and it was kind of faint, I just dismissed it and didn't think anything, of it. And I guess especially having lived downtown, I remember hearing a lot of booms here and there.
Exactly. It kind of, I was kind of distracted, and I heard it, for a split second. But it could have been Paul Kersey. trying to clean up the streets of New Orleans in after hours, politicians and the DA can't do it.
There may be a boom involved with that, yeah. Yeah,
right.
I mean,
that's 45 gone off a few times.
I really, I'm really hopeful that these meetings with the city council, with the superintendent of police, Sean Ferguson, and the DA, Jason Williams, bring about some change. Don't just talk about it. I mean, we're tired of the talk.
I think, Scoot, I think it's going to take the masses of people that come out for Mardi Gras and come out for the French Quarter Fest to have an organized, coordinated, with permit march to let the politicians know that, we're sick and tired of this.
Well, you got to think that they know. And the mayor is now getting passionate. Where was the passion? This is not a brand new problem that started the other day. The mayor on TV the other day was really passionate about getting something done. Okay. Don't insult us. Tell us where you've been and why have you been so silent on this? So it seems, Paul, like we're getting to the point where they are noticing. And the public pressure that builds up through talk radio as a representative of the people, this is putting pressure on the political leaders, the city council and the mayor. So our voices are being heard. If you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Hey, happy birthday today to Gene Knight. Gene Knight is 79 years old today. She was born here in New Orleans, and this was her big hit a few years ago, Mr. Big Stuff. Happy birthday, Gene. 79 years old today. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, on the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar for today, January 26th, on this day in 1997, what a lineup. James Brown, the Blues Brothers, and ZZ Top performed at the halftime show at the Super Bowl right here in New Orleans. I know there are people not happy with the lineup for this year's Super Bowl halftime show. But remember, other genres have been covered before. We've covered country, we've covered rock, we've covered pop, and so there are people who love rap and hip-hop. It might not be your thing, but okay, so then this isn't the year that the halftime relates to you. But I mean, you know, the halftime before that you loved, somebody else might not relate to it.
Where's my new age Pepsi halftime show? Where I want,
where is that?
You know, where's yeah. Where's Enya? You get give me the Kenny G, you know,
whale.
I want give me some whale sounds.
No, we want to stay awake. We don't want to fall asleep.
I would tune into that Pepsi halftime show.
Oh my god, I would. I would definitely go to the bathroom then. Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Hey Joe, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Joe.
Listen, about this with Sean Payton. My wife and I has been in the Dome since 1967, you know, day one. And it's kind of like in reverse of Katrina, meaning that Sean Payton came and look what happened since then. And Sean Payton is leaving, but he's not leaving us in bad shape. You know, this stuff with Mickey Loomis, I heard a call a while ago. Where else can he go and have this position of power at another team and be liked by everybody more than what he's got now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any reason to, you know, somebody brought up and, you know, people are always going to bring up the very, very negative. Change is not something that always sits well with people in this area. And I'm from this area, and I tend to be very positive about many changes. But the idea that, okay, well, what if we lose Mickey Loomis? Well, okay, well, what if we do? But, I mean, you know, why speculate on that when there's no reason to believe that that's going to happen? And I know there was no reason to believe that Sean Payton was going to retire, you know, 2 weeks ago, but he did. And, I the day before he announced it, I talked on the show about how the timing is right for him to go to TV. Now, he might not go to TV. He might take a year off and he might go into coaching. He definitely left the door open to coach. But if he starts coaching within 3 years, you know, he's got 3 years left on his contract. Are you going to be resentful?
I don't know, because if I'm not mistaken, within that 3 year period, I think the Saints still more or less own his rights.
Yeah, we talked about this with Christian Garrick yesterday on the show.
Right.
And Christian said that, yeah, they would have to compensate. Any team would have to compensate the Saints. But look, team owners have big money, and so if they really wanted Sean Payton, they would part with the money.
Well, you know, I wasn't way back when Sean Payton got here, you know, I wasn't much of a fan either way.
Because you didn't know. Yeah, exactly.
Correct.
And so that's why let's look at this as maybe a positive thing, because we don't know what we're going to get. It might even be better. Because, look, there were times that Sean Payton's decisions frustrated people. Frustrated fans. So let's see what happens.
Absolutely. You know, you want to find out the true Saints fans? Find out how many go into the Dome next year. You know,
yeah.
That's where people are going to be. And, look, no paper bags here. live
no,
through
it. I don't think we're going back to that. Thanks to the foundation that Sean Payton placed, thanks to the mentality that Sean Payton brought, the culture that Sean Payton created is going to live on beyond Sean Payton. And so let's credit Sean Payton with that.
Absolutely. Like I used to tell my friends, well, what are we going to do now? I said, you just got to believe in Sean Payton. Well, he's not gone. He's gone now. Well, now we got to believe in Mickey Loomis.
Yep. That's a good point.
And, you know, that's the way it, you know, that's the way it is. Let's move on. On and upward.
Yeah, we have to we have to move on. All right, Joe, I appreciate the call. Right. You know, earlier when I had a Zoom interview with Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. And I mean, I love when people say, and I even brought this up, I love when people say, oh, Jethro Tull, man, I love that guy. That guy's awesome. No, Jethro Tull was a British agriculturist. And he dealt with seeds. And their manager named him Jethro Tull when they were trying to figure out what their name should be. So Ian Anderson is the flute-playing, one-legged standing front guy for Jethro Tull. Had a very, very cerebral conversation with him early in a Zoom interview that we're going to post on our website and on Facebook. But I also asked him about the opening notes for this song. It's like the beginning of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. You know, you hear it and you know what it is. I mean, there's no way you're going to hear the first four notes and not get the song right if you're in a Name That Tune contest. So anyway, and we'll also take the audio from that and play it back on the air. But, you know, he may be the smartest rocker I've ever talked to. Very esoteric. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.